Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings from your 30 sister churches in a four-state region. That's right, you have a sister, and 30 of them. You are not alone. You are in this together, and I believe we're better together. And so the Western Conference, 30 churches, two camps, and a college, we're on your side. We're supporting you, okay? The title of today's message is Why Church? Before I jump into that, though, I do need to say that I wore my Big Timber blue today. That's because my team in Columbus had a perfect record until we won a game last week. So, by the way, I was thrilled to see the debt-free scream up there. Good job. Who's the family that did that? Where yet? Well, that is really cool. I actually have a meeting with Dave Ramsey next month as part of my doctoral program. I get to go interview him, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure he'll remember you, so I'll bring your name up when I get there. Do you recognize the church building up on the screen there? Does anybody know where that's at? Where? It is. That's Nye Community Church. It's the most picturesque church that I could find to start out the slide here today. And so fill in the blanks as we go. And let's talk about this question of why church? Why would any normal busy gal get up on a Sunday morning, gather her tired but energetic brood, and go to this church? With so many options of activities on a Sunday to choose from, what would compel a regular Montana man to attend your church? I ask you, why did you come to church today? There's a variety of reasons. I hope that it had more to do with God than it had to do with you. I hope that the reason you came today had a portion of it being worshiping Almighty Holy God who has saved you from your sins. Maybe you're here because your parents made you, or your spouse made you. A lot of different reasons to go to church. But I want to challenge you today. I also want to encourage you today in this question called, why church? You see, most pastors I talk to are very concerned about rapidly declining church attendance. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, don't beat up on us. We're the ones who are here, okay? I hope that because you came to church today, God redeems the time that you spent here. He literally multiplies that time that you spent for a Sabbath rest throughout the rest of your week. Doesn't mean the rest of your week is going to be perfect, but I pray that you're stronger for the rest of your week because you were in church today on a Sunday morning. You see, Bill Hybels, very famous preacher, says that the church is the hope of the world. Now, he's not replacing Jesus Christ, don't get me wrong. But who else is proclaiming Jesus Christ in our world today like the church? In fact, when there are crises, the government is not the answer. When there are crises and everybody else is fleeing from the problem, the church is rushing towards the problem to help it. The hope of the world. I used to reasonably be able to predict who would be in church on any given Sunday morning. I find it hard to even guess these days. Why does senior citizen Sally make it to church in 4-degree snowy winter weather while fit Frankie can't seem to find the front door? Does going to church really help us remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy? I believe it does. Next slide. The Sabbath was designed for your rest. It was designed so that your soul could catch up to the rest of your body. That in your tiredness physically of working all week, that you could be renewed inwardly day by day. And the Sabbath was one of God's plans to do just that. But you have to stop. You have to stop your mind from thinking about what's going to go on this week. You have to stop your mind from worrying or the anxiety or the children or what's for lunch today. And you have to focus wholeheartedly with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength on God alone. And guess what? It works. But a Sabbath without worship, without concentrating on Him, a Sabbath of just going through the motions really is a pseudo Sabbath. It's a false Sabbath. My family growing up, mom and dad, 7 children. My twin and I were the youngest. Every Sunday was tense in our home Sunday mornings because dad would decide when he woke up if the family was going to church that day. Us kids would lay in our rooms awake just waiting to hear if the knock on the door said, get up and get ready, we're going to church. I can't tell you what that did to me. It messed with me a little bit. I don't think my dad knows that to this day. Having a question of whether or not we were going made me wish we weren't. Can't describe it to you fully. But I can tell you that when I grew up and got married, I carried that thought with me into my marriage. And every Sunday morning, as a newly married, I made the decision if I felt like going to church that day. And my wife later described it to me as if there was something between us on Sunday mornings. Because she desperately wanted to go. But she was like me as a kid, waiting to hear, get up, get ready, we're going to church today. 3 years into my marriage, though, I had a one-way conversation with God. Actually, He did all the talking. I didn't hear God out loud, but I knew for a matter of fact that He was saying, you don't have to go to church, but you'll be better if you do. And I've got something for you every week at church. It might be a song, it might be a scripture, it might be a friendly face. Every week I've got something for you. Don't let this be a weekly decision. And so I made up my mind, I set my jaw that on Sunday mornings, my family and I were going to be in church. Not because I was better than anybody else, but I can tell you, I felt like the rest of the week was stronger.